Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to dig back into your scriptures, to be able to find some of that knowledge that you want us to know, to be able to have the information so that we can go out into the world and help this world understand what is going to be occurring during the tribulation period, to let them know that they need to come to know you as their Lord and Savior so that they will not have to go through that time, so they will not have to suffer the judgment of the tribulation time. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Lead, guide, and direct everything as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 1, it reads, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." Now this beast rising up out of the sea is the Antichrist. The sea that he's speaking of here is considered the area of the Mediterranean. So, the Middle East. So it's thought that the individual that becomes the Antichrist, or that is the Antichrist, will be from that region. Many have said, well, he's going to be a Jew. Good possibility from the scriptures that he could be of Jewish descent. He could be a mixed Arab and Jew. He could be just an Arab. Or he could be a Jew. He could be neither one. I'm not certain that anybody can say definitely of his origin of tribe or whatever. We know that he's been given a number because the 666 that it makes reference to that we'll get into here is a number of a man. And if you go all the way back to the book of Numbers, where each one who was named and numbered was given a number which also equated to a name, so then other people have said, well, okay, then we can decipher what his actual name is. That's what the 666 represents. So there's all kinds of theories. There's all kinds of ways people can analyze this. And the theologians have had, you know, a lot of time to research this and dig deep into it. But they cannot say for a certainty his origin, his name, the exact time. It just can't come up with it because it has not been revealed to us, will not be revealed to us until it occurs. That's the thing about the scriptures and the prophecies here of the last days. There's so much of this that is only going to be revealed during the tribulation time. So as it unfolds, then you look at the scriptures and say, aha, that's exactly what they were talking about. We can see it right here. But right now, we cannot look at this and give you that clear-cut view of exactly what's going to occur. If we had that, if we had even like the date of the beginning of the tribulation, people would think, well, okay, I could be just as wild as I can be. You know, I'm kind of partying, and then, you know, 2 days before the judgments start, I'll turn my life over to the Lord and get raptured out of here. You know, people start thinking that way. If they had that exact date. But we don't. Let's get right back into it here. And this description of him, all these crowns, something else the theologians have had a lot of time and a lot of effort put into translating or interpreting what the 7 heads are, the 10 horns, the crowns. These are all the nations, the leaders, the authority that the Antichrist is going to have power over. Basically, it boils down to he is going to rule the world. Continuing in verse 2. "And a beast, which I saw, was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." We know the dragon is a symbol of Satan himself. So Satan will give this Antichrist individual his power and authority. The term Antichrist is not used in the book of Revelation. It's used in the book of John, the epistle, the little epistles of John. He's the one entitled him as the Antichrist. It's a term that we commonly use for him. Distinguish him between the Antichrist and the false prophet beast, because both of them are called beasts. So we can call the beast we're speaking of here coming out of the sea the Antichrist. The one we'll be reading about in verse 11 is the false prophet. It's the other beast. Continuing in verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now, this deadly wound upon one of his heads is an event that actually will occur near the midpoint of the tribulation, or at the midpoint of tribulation. He will be wounded as a dead. He won't be actually killed, but he'll appear to be dead. And Satan will heal him and totally indwell him at that time. Continuing, you'll see how that goes in verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast. Okay, they worshiped the dragon. That means they worshiped Satan himself. And they worshiped the beast. The beast here being the Antichrist beast. Saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. To continue. So we know this point, when Satan heals his deadly wound, comes into him, gives him this great power, this authority, this great voice, these blasphemies, is all going to be at the midpoint. Because it says to continue 42 months, which is 3.5 years. So that gives us our indicator of what time period he's speaking of. Because you've got to take all these symbolic things, apply them to the timeline. Where is it? The midpoint. So we know the midpoint, he'll be wounded as unto dead. Satan will give him a power, authority, raise him up, put him in his position for another 3.5 years. Continuing in verse 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. There again, we know they've had peace for that first half of the tribulation with the children of Israel. This is when he breaks that treaty with Israel, the midpoint, sets himself up as God, sits in the temple, as is prophesied in the book of Daniel, and begins the second half of the tribulation period, and starts overtaking the entire world with his influences. Continuing in verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The book of life. There's a lot of confusion concerning the book of life, because there are two different ones titled the book of life. You got the book of life of the Lamb here, the book of life of the Lamb, the Lamb's book of life. All that is one book. You got another book that is simply titled the book of life. Anyone that is born has their name written in the book of life. That just means a total tally of every person ever born, even those that were in, that were conceived and were aborted, have a name in that book of life, because life begins at conception. You then can get your name written in the Lamb's book of life when you become born again. That's the second birth. That's the second book of life. You've got to decipher that whenever you're studying the Revelation, and when it talks about the books, and about even in the book of Revelation chapter 22, I believe it is, where it talks about having your name blotted out of the book of life. That's not being blotted out of the book of life of the Lamb. Not that book, but the book of life where everybody who has a life is written in, making reference to the second death. When you get your name blotted out of that book is when you have passed that judgment, the great white throne judgment, and you're cast into hell for eternity, the second death. That book. But the book we're speaking of here, the book of life of the Lamb, only born-again Christians are written in that book. Let's read verse 8 again. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. So everyone who is not born again will worship the Antichrist. That's what it's speaking of. In verse 9, if any man have an ear, let him hear. He says that throughout the book of Revelation. It's a proclamation saying, everybody better listen up. He that bleedeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. The patience and the faith of the saints. It's like so often that we as Christians could turn into a militia, you know, and start going out and killing everybody that don't agree with us. But that's not what it's all about. Jesus told us over and over to love our enemies. We don't want to become like some of those other religions out there who think it's a holy thing to go out and kill people. And to strap bombs on themselves and go blow up malls or buses or whatever as a way of worshiping their false god, a way of worshiping Satan. So we as Christians have this that he speaks of here. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Because we have faith in God. He's the one who's in control of everything. It's His place to make judgment, not ours. Now we get into the false prophet in verse 11. Picking it up here. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb. And he spake as a dragon. Horns are usually a representation of power or of might, military might. And in this sense here, as a lamb, these horns were power and authority, but they were in a subtle way, being of a lamb. And he had that kind of influence, great power of influence over the nations. But then it talks about him being a deceiver, because it says, and he spake as a dragon. Of course, making a reference to Satan. And verse 12, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Total job of the false prophet is to influence the world to worship the first beast. And you got to note the fact that, like one of my sermons I preached on, Satan the counterfeiter. He's trying to establish his counterfeit of God. All the way through history, all the way back, he's over and over trying to make a counterfeit. This is the same way. The Antichrist is the counterfeit version of Jesus Christ. The fact that he was wounded and then he was healed, counterfeit version of death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The beast of the earth here, which is the false prophet, is the counterfeit of the Holy Ghost. So you have the dragon, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. The unholy trinity. The counterfeit part that Satan is putting together here. So you see this one here is the counterfeit of the Holy Ghost, giving power and attention toward the Antichrist. Continuing in verse 13. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. So you think, why has he been given this kind of power and authority? Because the influence that he can have by that, so that he can tempt those that are unbelievers, those that have not yet decided whether they're going to serve Satan or follow God, serve God. Continue in verse 14. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. So he's wanting to build an image similar to the way that Nebuchadnezzar had built that image, or actually his associates had built an image of Nebuchadnezzar and told everyone to worship that image. If you remember in the accounts in the book of Daniel, and how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not worship that image, and how Daniel himself would not worship that image, and how the three wound up being cast into the fiery furnace, and how Daniel wound up being cast into the den of lions, and how God saw them both through that, all four of them through that event. This here also, if you worship this beast or follow their mark that we're going to read about here, you have doomed yourself to hell. But if you stand up against that, you will actually be killed, but you will have eternity in heaven. Continue in verse 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. When this was written, this was just so far-fetched, unbelievable, that you could give the ability of an image to speak or to be able to strike out and kill somebody. The technology wasn't very common at that time. Now, looking back at some of the historical findings, some of the archaeological digs and some of the things that they've unearthed and some of the idols that they have researched and even some of the temples, it's amazing some of the things that those guys were doing to some of those false gods that they have built throughout the years. Some of them, even today, they'll have a statue that will cry blood. Like in the book of Daniel, there was an incident there about how they would feed the idol, and it would consume the food over the night, and then they would come back in the next morning, and all the food would be gone. Actually, that's in the Apocrypha in the 1611 King James Version. But if you look that up, you can see that in the Apocrypha, and how it was a secret area that was opened up underneath the altar where the priest's family could come in and have a feast on all that food, and they would go back out. How Daniel sprinkled some dust around there, and they saw the footprints of the next morning, you know, so it showed how that was a big scam. So they had some of that stuff going on back then. But for the powers that this thing is going to be given, it was still unbelievable that it could do the things that, because it's even able to speak. And that would have been very difficult in that time period technology when this was written. But today you can see how they can make an image speak. Can it make an image? I mean, the robotics that is available today, some of the advancement that, like the Honda Corporation, they have a robot that is very mobile and walks around and does all sorts of things. And they're adding the smart technology into that, where this robot has a lot of functions. So you can see with the anatomics or the whatever the technology is, they have robotics. You can see in the robotics of today how they could make an image be able to be that mobile, that be able to move that much, be able to, with lasers, the lasers that they have today is amazing, be able to burn somebody to a crisp, be able to speak, all sorts of things, and make people worship that image. So, very capable technology of today. Continuing in verse 16. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bound, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, verse 3, it reads, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. First one to come up with having a seal in their forehead is God. That's part of His plan. That's part of His first steps towards sealing the 144,000 as a seal in their forehead. So what does Satan do? He likes to have his counterfeits. So he turns around and says, okay, at the midpoint of tribulation, I'm going to build an Antichrist beast. I'm going to put him up there, and everybody's going to have my seal now. So then he wants to have a seal. So it's all the way through. Satan trying to counterfeit everything over and over and over. Because also it's also mentioned over in Revelation chapter 9 and verse 4, where it says, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. So having the seal in your forehead is not a bad thing if you've got the right seal. So the main thing is to have your head sealed first by God, then you will not be tempted to have the second seal of Satan because you have already been sealed by God. But all of us that are born again will not have to worry about that, having a seal, whatever. But during the tribulation period, you've got to make sure you got the right seal. And this ability to be able to put this seal, with today's technology, you know, it's very capable of, I mean, they're already talking about this implant that they want to start putting in everyone, probably start doing it at birth. And the implant is about the size of a grain of rice, and they will inject it under the skin, and it's programmable, and it can have all kinds of information programmed on that. The excuses they're going to be putting in there, well, they have already started putting it in children. Many children have this already in them, and it is to identify them if they are abducted or if they're lost. They can be scanned and it can identify them. They're saying that they can put your medical record on it, so then you don't have to wear these little badges, you know, or these around your neck or on your wrist that say medical alert. It'll be implanted in a little microchip under your skin. I mean, the technology is already being used. I mean, they've been using it on dogs for a long time. They scan it and it tells them their address and their doctor and their... So you see, the technology is in place for this mark. Technology is to the point now where they've already started this, where some of the high security companies have got this in people. They put it in their palms and they walk in the door. They don't need keys or security codes or anything. They just walk in. They get scanned as they come in. They know they're in the building. They get scanned on the way out. They know they've left. So we know the technology is in place to have this mark put on you so that you can buy and sell and trade and so forth. So it's all so much more believable today when you read the book of Revelation than when it was written. So it's kind of scary when you think about it, the technology that's out there, especially concerning this mark. It's very common. All right, we're out of time, so let's close. Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time we've spent studying your word. It means so much for us to have the opportunity to be able to dig into the scriptures, to be able to find that information that we need to be able to give the answers to the people out there that have the questions, that are wondering what the last days are really all about. Help us have the motivation to dig into the scriptures to find out so that we can answer all those questions that the world has. Thank you so much for the opportunity to study as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.